Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Nathan Jacques, an Americana artist's new single, The Fire Smells Like Rain, is out now. It's part of a 12-song Americana concept album entitled Loud Mind. It's a storytelling concept reminiscent of the Old West and in the vein of Marty Robbins and Johnny Cash and other such artists. Nathan joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about the making of this concept record.
Hi, Nathan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us today. I am talking to you. Are you in L.A.? Is that right?
I am.
All right. Cool. But you didn't grow up there, though, right?
I did not. I am from Massachusetts.
All right. And how long have you been in L.A.?
I've been here around 6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So started your music up north in Massachusetts.
I did, yeah. Massachusetts and kind of New Hampshire, just, you know, across New England is where I'm from and grew up. And never really thought about the West Coast too much until I got out here rather quickly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So tell me how you got introduced to music, fell in love with music, started playing music. When did that start for you?
Mm-hmm. It started pretty early. I mean, you know, I grew up listening to music around the house just from my folks,
mm-hmm.
You know, as far back as I can remember, you know, in the house and like in the car was big with my dad, like rolling around. He had just a CD collection in the car. So,
right.
You know, there's certain memories that come back from certain places. And then kind of as far back as I remember, I just wanted to play the guitar. Yeah. I just thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not an original feeling or story, but it is. I thought it was just the coolest thing. And so,
who inspired you? What artists, who did you see that made you think, wow, I kind of like to be like that guy?
I really liked like classic rock as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it was just because it was just all about the guitar.
Yeah. Right.
So I remember, you know, like AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
Like even older stuff like Buddy Holly and, you know, a lot of those. Boston was a great one.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite rock bands.
Yeah, sure. Just like all those bands that just wrote great riffs.
Yep.
Because that was everything. It's just if a cool riff, if I could learn a cool riff or if I could stumble to try and learn it, that was it. That's all I needed.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you get to play in high school? Were you in high school bands? Did you kind of take that path?
Yeah, I mean, I did like the school bands kind of everywhere I went in school. Did a little bit more actually bass guitar. I wasn't good enough for the guitar to be in like the school band. That's the problem is that I just wanted to play like rock and roll music.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meant like I didn't really care about learning the theory or being serious about, you know, being a generous and giving musician in a band. Like I just wanted to play sweet riffs, and that didn't really work out too well when you kind of try out for a school band. So I switched to bass. It was a lot easier, and I could kind of just sit back and do the rhythm.
Yeah.
And then I had my fair share of just, you know, as a kid trying to put together bands and cover your favorite song and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
What led you to the songwriting side of it?
That actually came a lot later. I mean, so I had a fairly long stint, about 4 or 5 years with a band, with like a pop rock band. I was the guitarist, and I did some of the songwriting for that band, but I was not like the lead songwriter or singer. But then I think after that band broke up, I was just kind of left wanting in music, but I was also without a band. And so, you know, I had an acoustic guitar and I was like, well, you know, got to make this work. And so that's kind of just where that started. You know, you do what you can with what you have.
Did you get a chance to pursue it, or have you had a chance to pursue it professionally as a full-time gig, or was there always some things that you did to supplement your music career?
There was always other stuff. Still is, you know. I mean, yeah. Until I can, you know, put it on my tax form as a musician, like that, I got to do other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of just how it goes.
Right, and the pandemic didn't help anybody, right? So,
no, yeah, of course not.
took everybody out of the loop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting unemployment and I suppose getting more face time with your instruments at home was one thing for the pandemic, but you know. Could be too much FaceTime. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, now we're all left with, is it over? Is it not over? And some parts of the country, it feels like it might be. And what are you going to do with that? And where do you need to go play? And who's going to let me play? And yeah, all of that.
Right.
All of that.
Confusion. Yeah. And are you just going to have to study the audience's eyes and hope that they're smiling or singing or something?
Right.
Yeah. It's an interesting transition we're in. I just hope it. You know, it goes the right way.
Have you been able to get out and play in California? Has there been options, opportunities?
There has. That's kind of just picking up now, at least for me. I mean, so I'm about to release this record, and so I've been kind of busy on the back end of it, you know, not live, just kind of getting this whole release together and, you know, doing it the way I want. But now that that's about to come out, you know, I'm lining up a lot of shows here. Happy to get out. Hope, you know, places are booking, and so that's the good news.
Yeah.
Like whether or not it's masks or only outdoors or whatever, you know, we'll see. But it's just great to see that live shows are happening.
Right.
Because, you know, for a minute there during the pandemic, everyone was kind of like, you know, are there going to be live shows ever again?
Right. Right.
Maybe a little dramatic, but, you know, I'm sure we all felt that way.
Sure. It's an unknown situation. And you know, you've got all these confusing stories. You don't know who to believe. You don't know where the truth really is exactly. And how does that work for you and your career? Yeah. Yeah. It's
right.
That's been the dance everybody's been trying to do.
Yeah.
So how did you're kind of in this, Americana flavor, folk rock a little bit, kind of got this, Johnny Cash, maybe Marty Robbins kind of feel. Did that just come naturally, or was that a particular style that you were intentional about?
I think it's a mixture of both. You know, it's the whole like Western songwriter style is something I've always been a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I think mostly pioneered, I would say, by Marty Robbins as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
He really cemented that style. And so I've always been a fan of it, you know, and always kind of grew up, like around and watching old Western movies. Like that genre was always very, just entrancing to me. It was just felt like such a fun flavor, that you could kind of do with many things. And so I think it was a combination of just being generally interested in it. And that's kind of just what I found my voice could do well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I was in a pop rock band, and, you know, I would try and sing that kind of stuff, and I would just, you know, I would get really bummed out because my voice was not high enough.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For that kind of genre. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, damn, I'm not a good singer. And then it just took a while to be like, oh, no, I think you're just singing the wrong shit.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's a combination, like, that's kind of just what came out, and so I leaned with it, and I was already liking that stuff anyway, so here you go.
Yeah, that's cool. So you mentioned the new record, Loud Mind. Is that the title? Right?
That's it.
Yeah. Debut record. Is that correct?
Sure is. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. How long have you been working on it?
Over 2 years now.
Mm.
It's been a long haul. Yeah.
All original?
All original.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I started writing it in early 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular formula, format, style when you sit down to write songs? You have a groove that you're trying to find to get into? Tell me a little bit about your songwriting process.
It's a weird one for sure. I mean, you know, it's not as simple as kind of just, you know, the lyrics come first and then the chords follow. A lot of it actually, the way I do it is I like to do story first. And that's kind of how I did this record, and everything I write is I really try and overwrite as much as I can, because then I get to kind of get the top down view of whatever story I'm trying to tell, and I can see as much of it as I can. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it easier to focus in on, you know, a piece of whatever part of a story or complete tale I'm trying to write. I can like narrow in and be like, okay, this is what I want to focus on. Mm-hmm. You know, and then every time I've written a song that I like, the melody and chords just kind of come naturally and are birthed from whatever that story is. Okay. It's a weird process. It's kind of hard to describe that particular transition from, you know, like written text and conceptual to when it starts becoming a song, but that's the best I can do.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Did I read where this is a concept record per se? Mm-hmm. You don't have 12 one-off songs. You had a little bit more structure to this, right?
Yeah, no, through and through, it's definitely a concept record.
How does that differ from you see somebody walking down the street that makes you think of a song versus wanting to tell a story through 12 songs? How does that process work differently for you?
I think I was just kind of always into it, and not even in the music sense per se. I'm just a big fan of, you know, any sort of like a big adventure story. Whether that be in literature, film, more recently, you know, TV's doing a lot of that. But any of these big sprawling epics, like I was always just so on board as a kid and now and everything in between. And so I think when I found that you could do that in music with, you know, as early as or like Quadrophenia by The Who is a good example. You know, I didn't know that that was an option. For so long, I was kind of like, yeah, you know, you write a good tune and it's catchy, and then you write more of them, and then you put them all on a pressed piece of plastic, and then it's great.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I just, you know, I was always drawn to those. Oh, wow, there's a whole thread here that I can dive into if I want. There's so much depth that I can really fall into that world and escape like it's a movie or like it's a good book. And so I just always wanted to do that. I thought, you know, why not give it a go? And then once I started doing it, I couldn't stop. I got obsessed. I just, I would write pages and pages and pages and, you know, flesh out the whole story, characters, you know, motives, emotions, like everything. I geek out on that myself. And so I just got to really pour into it, you know?
So when you get to play this for an audience, do you have to play from track 1 to track 12 in order to make it make sense, or can you pick out certain tracks and have them stand alone?
Yeah, no, I didn't want to be too rigid about it. I mean, as much as that might satisfy a fancy of mine, I don't think that that's realistic. And it's more of a I think the live show can differ greatly from the record for any artist. And I don't see it any different if it's a concept record. I think there's a place for, you know, doing that live, but you need to have a big enough audience that wants that, before that's appropriate.
Right.
And so, you know, with writing it, I did acknowledge that. And so I was like, you know, I shouldn't write songs that are in themselves, you know, boring. So I did want to make each song able to stand on its own. That was a conscious effort.
Okay.
And so, yes, in live, I do plan to tell it out of story.
Okay.
But, you know, that's something that I do want to communicate. And so if a listener wants to, you know, hear the record as I intended, they can listen to it front to back and hopefully, you know, get something deeper out of it.
Yeah. Okay. First single, The Fire Smells Like Rain, is that correct?
That was the second single.
Okay.
Yeah. Young Devil was number one.
Okay. How did you decide which of those to release? Did you have a particular thought process in mind when you were picking songs to release in order?
Yeah, Young Devil was always pretty obviously, like from very early on, pretty obviously the first song that I was going to release. I think it's just, it kind of just sums up the sound in a good way of the whole record.
Okay.
It's like a very happy medium. And it's, you know, it's not too slow. It's not too rocking. It's kind of just straight down the middle, more comfortable. And so I thought, you know, if I'm going to, I think it was a little aggressive to drop a concept album on everyone for a first record. And I was aware of that. And so I was like, you know, maybe pick one of the more approachable songs to ease in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like that one. So
and the second one, I caught a little bit of the video. I has that Western feel almost, the campfire scene. Was pretty cool. Was that fun to shoot?
It was fun to shoot. It was real cold up there, so that part wasn't fun. Okay. We were on like a a mountaintop.
Oh wow! Okay.
North of LA here, yeah. Out in the desert. And so it was frigid at night, but hey, it came out well. It was a good crew, good bonding experience. So everything good came from it.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your audience, your fan base?
You know, it's still tight. It's still small. It's a lot of friends, obviously, since it's the first one. But it's good feedback. I mean, I'm just so thankful that people actually like it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I've been working on this for so long.
Right.
Just been so close to it. You know, my nose is right to the glass on this thing. And so it's very nice to step away and see people be like, yeah, this doesn't suck.
Yeah. That's always a good feeling, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
So what are the plans? Do you have some touring plans, mostly local? What does it look like to get out on the road this fall and share it?
So mostly local starting. That's the plan. You know, play around the city, play around an expanded part of California. But yeah, tour is on the eyes. I mean, I would love to do it. I would love to do it as soon as possible. But you know, there's steps you got to do before you can get to that level.
Sure.
So I just want to play as much as I can, get this sound into as many ears as possible, and take it from there. You know.
Do you go out solo, or do you take the band or a band?
I can do both. Yeah. So I had the little band backing me up for. We did a video for the second single, and that was pretty, you know, pretty minimal band, but I'm not trying to recreate the record, you know, instrument to instrument in a live setting. I do want it to be flexible, and so I have a lot of solo stuff coming up and some band stuff, and what the band looks like, you know, that's a surprise nightly, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
How far ahead do you look? Are you working on a new project? Are you always writing? What does it look like? How far are you planning out?
So I'm actually in the studio at the moment recording the next record.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I did finish writing that a few months ago, and so we're working on that at the moment. But I'm not writing. I kind of do writing in pretty neurotic bursts. And so it's very focused and very kind of taking all of me. And then once I exhaust that creative output,
yeah,
I've had something to work with. And yeah. So then I take a break from writing and just kind of focus on, you know, the crafting and the conceptualizing and practicing of it.
Yeah, will the new one be in the same vein? Is that your theme as an artist, you think? Or will you alter that a bit?
Yeah, not a huge shift. I mean, it's kind of just building upon what we did with this record. Staying with, you know, the concept and story idea. And so, yeah, have to wait and see.
Yeah, okay, cool. So if our listeners want to get the new record, they want to check out the videos of the first two singles you've released, what's the best way to communicate with you?
Sure. I mean, a good landing page is just my website. It's just my name.com. and you can kind of find everything there. But I'm all over the interwebs, you know, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you fancy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. I've got the record for sale on the site. We got vinyl and CD. So if you want a physical copy, I'm happy to give you one.
And let's spell your name so they can find the website correctly. It's Nathan Jacques, and it's JACQUES. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, cool. So and .com. So if they want to find you, that's the best place to go. Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks, Nathan. I appreciate you taking the time to share your story and tell us about the new record. We certainly wish you well with it.
Thanks for having me. It was a great time.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.